In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with the book of Adam. Today we are in lesson 85.
Yes.
Do you want to begin, Barbara?
Entry number 85, October 7th, 1929, volume 27. After this, I was doing my round to follow the acts of the divine fiat in creation. And as I arrived at Eden, I paused in the act when man rejected the divine will to do his own. Oh, how well I comprehended the great evil of doing the human will. And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, terrible indeed was the moment of the fall of Adam. As he rejected our divine will to do his own, our fiat was an act of withdrawing from the heavens, from the sun, and from all creation to reduce it to nothing, because the one who had rejected our divine will no longer deserved that our fiat maintained the continuous act of creation and preservation in all creation, made out of love for man and given to him as gift from his creator. If it wasn't that the eternal word offered his foreseen merits of the future redeemer, as he offered them to preserve the Immaculate Virgin from original sin, everything would have gone to ruin. The heavens, the sun, would have withdrawn into our source, and by the withdrawing of our divine will, all creative things would have lost life. But the Word incarnate presented himself before the divinity, and making present all of his foreseen merits, all things remained in their place, and my fiat continued his creating and preserving work, waiting for my humanity in order to present to it the legitimate gift deserved. So much so that the solemn promise was given to man after his fall that the future Redeemer would descend to save him, so that he would pray and dispose himself to receive him. Our will did everything, and out of justice had right over everything. By doing his will, man took the divine rights away from it, from his will. Therefore, he no longer deserved that the sun give him light, and as the light invested him, he would feel the rights of his light being torn away from him. Each created thing that he would take and enjoy was a tearing that he made to it. If it wasn't for my humanity, everything would be lost for man. Therefore, not doing my divine will encloses all evils. It is to lose all rights of heaven and earth, while doing it encloses all goods and acquires all human and divine rights. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Let's go back and let's try to analyze this passage. Let's try to see it. You know, Luisa Picaretta here, she is practicing the divine will, living in this way that our Lord Jesus gives to her through the formation that she receives from our Lord Jesus. And this is a great example for us, and that what Luisa does, we have to follow. Luisa is just an example for us so that we learn how to be united in his will and how to unite ourselves with the will of God. And she's a good example for us, a great example. And in this passage, we see that she's practicing this way of living. She begins in this little passage that is taken. It's only a portion taken from that section, but it says that she was doing her rounds in the divine will. She was doing her rounds in the divine will, the rounds of creation specifically. And she mentioned she arrived at Eden.
Eden.
And we know that we classify as we read in the book of heaven, and she mentions this, the acts of creation. So we know that in the book of Genesis, especially in the first chapter and the second chapter, we see the book of Genesis in the two chapters, we see the rounds, we see what God does in those passages, the rounds of creation. That's a good way to connect the divine will with sacred scripture. Just give me 1 second, please, everybody. All right. Let's continue here. So I was mentioning that in learning this divine science, it's not only the knowledge. Knowledge is part of that, but we have to practice this. And in Luisa, we see that she is practicing this, especially the rounds of creation. And I was mentioning that in the book of heaven, Luisa Picaretta goes specifically in the acts of creation. We find those specifically also in chapter 1 and 2 of the book of Genesis. And in the past, I mentioned that we can pray with that in a very particular way, or we can do just in general to thank God. As soon as you get up in the morning, you just do the prevenient act, and then you put your "I love you, I praise you, I glorify you in all the acts of creation. I thank you, my God and my Father, the author of my life," using those same words of Adam, just to thank, to adore, to glorify God as we unite ourselves in the will of God. And with that, we basically are fulfilling what the church is asking us to do in the catechism, that we add to give back his creation to God. So this is the way that we practice what we learned and as we read. And we see that Luisa Picaretta is practicing. Then she mentions she comprehended all the evil that came about after man rejected the divine will. This really reminds me, you know, the suffering of Jesus in the garden, that in there, our Lord is able to see all the evil. And his humanity really trembles, and he says, "No, my will, but your will be, your will be. If it's possible for me to let this chalice pass, may it be, but not my will, may your will be done." Then this is Luisa Picaretta is able to see, to comprehend. And also you see in the Blessed Mother, in the book of heaven, we also encounter that the Blessed Mother at her conception, She was able to comprehend and then to be able to say with that understanding, to say, yes, I want to do your will always. So as we read the Book of Heaven and we try to understand this divine science, we have to move in that way to keep doing the rounds of creation, the rounds of redemption, basically thanking our Lord Jesus for everything he has done, that he has paved the way, that he has prepared the way for us to receive this gift. And this is what our Lord Jesus has given us with his sacrifice, the possibility to regain the divine rights that we lost. This is, if we can describe what the divine will is, so what's the point of all of this revelation, we can say that the whole point is for the whole human race to regain the divine rights that we lost. What Jesus has done for us in the incarnation all the way till the foot of, I mean, till the cross and resurrection, is so that the whole human race may regain the divine rights that we lost. And we can see the whole gift, the whole point, we can summarize it in that way, so that we may regain what we lost. And what our Lord Jesus has done is for us to regain this gift. And one of the things that is important to mention here also is that, as the Lord says, as he rejected our will to do his son, our fiat was an act of withdrawing from the heavens, from the sun and from all creation to reduce it to nothing. This is huge. Basically, what he's saying that after Adam withdrew from the divine will, from that union, when he departed by his act, the divine justice demanded basically that everything will disappear, that the sun will turn into darkness, that everything will go again back as it was in the beginning, before God said, let it be. We read in the Bible. Let me give you an example here. So in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, right at the beginning, it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, upon the face of the earth. After the fall, basically, this is what the divine justice demanded, that we may go back to that void and that darkness. That's what the divine justice demanded. And this is what our Lord Jesus is saying here in the book of heaven, in this section, that as Adam rejected the divine will to do his son, the divine will that animates everything that exists, the divine will that animates the sun, the moon, the stars, that has everything in harmony, should have withdrawn from everything so that everything will go back to darkness. But then later says, but because the eternal word, we know that the eternal word is Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, offer his foreseen merits of the future Redeemer. Basically, he presented the second person of the Blessed Trinity, presented himself before God the Father, basically to get alone for us. Basically, he got alone, knowing that later that will be paid. So this is what he did for us. He offered himself basically to come as a future redeemer, and in that to offer that grace in a prevenient way in advance to the Blessed Mother, so that she may be prepared, the Immaculate Virgin, from original sin. If the divine word, the eternal word, had not presented himself right after the fall to become man, basically, and to come and redeem us, everything would have gone to the darkness, to the void that it was before God said, let it be. This is what the divine justice demanded, basically. So everything now, again, the coming of the Redeemer, the preservation of the Virgin Mary from original sin, is only a preparation for all the human race to receive those divine rights that we lost in the fall. That's one way to see the whole thing. And now each one of us, using our free will, is called to go and by our free will unite ourselves to his will. Basically, now to pay back that loan. To start paying. How do we pay that loan? It's very simple when we unite ourselves with the will of God, because now we have been reconciled. Why the people in the Old Testament, the prophets, why they couldn't have this gift at their time available to them? Because we needed to be reconciled. Remember, after the fall, that harmony that God established at the beginning was disrupted. So that harmony had to be restored. That friendship with God has to be restored. And this is what our Lord Jesus did. This is what the future Redeemer that this passage is talking about is saying, that it was because of Jesus. He offered himself, and then he came to restore that. But that's not all, because the final end is, as the Catechism again, it says, is for the creature to enter into the eternal presence of the Blessed Trinity. So now we are called to enter into that eternal presence from now, from this side, because now we have been reconciled. So that's, I think that's important also. And then it's another note here that I wanted to mention. Here is, it says that the word incarnate presented himself before the divinity and making present all of his foreseen merits. All things remain in their place in the divine fiat, right? So it says, and my fiat continue his creating and preserving work. So the Son kept its place, everything kept functioning, right? Waiting for my humanity in order to present it, to present the legitimate gift that is deserved. So it is because of the merits of our Lord Jesus we receive everything, because of the merits of our Lord Jesus. And now we are called to correspond in that way. But then it says that also that after his fall, that the future Redeemer will descend to save him, right? So that he will pray and dispose himself to receive him. So in the Old Testament, we see those prayers, and finally, The prayers to the Blessed Virgin Mary, they make that gift descend. They make the second person of the Blessed Trinity descend and become man. But in the Book of Heaven, it says that it was finally all the prayers of the people in the Old Testament, they contribute, but it was finally the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary that make it descend, because they contain the divine will operated in her. So that was all of them contribute, but the Blessed Mother, her acts finally make the divine word descend and become flesh. Then it says that, but they have to dispose themselves. They have to pray and dispose themselves to receive it also, it says. Our Lord gave that solemn promise. God gave that solemn promise to Adam and Eve after their fall, that the Redeemer will come, but there had to be the preparation, the prayers, and we see the prayers in the Old Testament. And the Ten Commandments is already a preparation, because the Ten Commandments express the will of God. That's the will of God containing the Ten Commandments. That tells us what to do and what not to do. So we can say that in the Book of Heaven, that is mentioned, that that's the Ten Commandments is the ordained will of God. The ordained will of God. Why? Because, again, they tell us, do this and don't do that. And they ordain us towards God. And then also they order ourselves. They tell us how to relate with God in the first three commandments. And then the way we have to relate with others. And that will bring harmony also. Is the beginning of the restoration of that harmony that needed to be established, because it was disrupted in the fall. And again, is the catechism, is the teaching of the catechism, all the way from the numerals 374 all the way to 379 is talking about that. And then these dispositions, we hear about these dispositions in the Book of Heaven. The Lord says, I'm looking to see whether there are the dispositions in the soul of the creatures to let this gift descend. And then what are those dispositions? Well, if we go with what the church teaches, that a virtue is a habitual and firm disposition to do good. So we know that in the Book of Heaven, the first volumes, especially from 1 to 5, the Lord talks about the virtues and telling Luisa Picaretta, you have to dispose your soul. You have to be disposed to this. So we know, we understand that those dispositions that the Lord is talking about is for us, for the human race to grow in virtue. And the Ten Commandments, they help us to do that, because they tell us, do not steal. Right? So the Ten Commandments, do not steal. Immediately that gives us, or that points us to be just, to give to the other what is due to the others. So as we observe that commandment, we grow in the virtue of justice. You see how they are related? If we observe the fifth commandment, the seventh commandment, do not steal. That will help us, if we follow that commandment, that will help us to grow in the virtue of justice. And those virtues in us, those are the dispositions that our Lord Jesus is looking in us. That's what is teaching Luisa Picaretta. But In Adam, those dispositions, they already exist naturally when he was created. He just have to grow in those virtues as he was growing in the knowledge of God. And because he possessed those virtues, the divine attributes or divine qualities were able to operate directly through those virtues in him. But for us, it's not like that, because we need to acquire those dispositions by way of repeating those things, right? And immediately after this passage, the Lord says the following: our will did everything and out of justice. Then here we hear the virtue of justice in God is an attribute. But if we look at ourselves, it has to be a virtue. And this is specifically in the Catechism 1807. Let's go and see what the church says about justice. It says justice is the moral virtue that contains in the, excuse me, that consists in the constant and firm will to give their due to God. Let's just leave it like that, because we are talking about justice in relation to God. It says more about the neighbor and everything. You can go there and read it. But since we are talking about our relationship with God and how Adam related with God at the beginning, and how after the fall, everything was disrupted. So at the beginning, Adam possessed this virtue in him. Basically, it was natural for him, as it was natural in the Blessed Mother. It wasn't hard for the Blessed Mother to be charitable, to be just, to be pious. It was natural in her. She was just groaning at every moment with that. In Adam, it was the same at the beginning. For us, it's not natural. It has to do by repetition, and by repetition, we acquired this. But you see, is the virtue that consists in the constant and firm will, constantly willing to give what is due to God, constantly willing to do, willing to give to God what is due to him. And what is due to him is the giving of his creation. And what is Luisa doing at the beginning here? He is giving him all his creation back as she's doing the rounds. What we do, the church already is moving in this direction, but with these writings, we now understand what is contained in that public revelation that the Catechism talks about in number 66, that is already finished, but is not explained. It needs to be explained. And now, see, the Mass itself, we can say, is around, because the word Eucharist means thanksgiving. So what we do when we do the rounds, we thank, we adore, we glorify God for what he has created out of love for us. Catechism of the Catholic Church 358. That he make all creation for us. And we are made for him and to give him back all his creation. So what we do in the rounds, we just go around and recognize what he has done out of love for us. And we thank him and we love him with his own love that is contained in those elements. So I love you with the intensity of the sun and the moon and the stars. And I put my I love you in all the effects that the sun has upon the earth. And with that same light and power, I want to love you, adore you, and to ask for the divine will to reign in me and all the creatures. Simple. So what we do when we go to Mass, we It's a thanksgiving, an act of thanksgiving. So just by participating in Mass, we are already thanking God. But now in union with Jesus, it's our Lord Jesus who is thanking God. We just unite ourselves to him. So he is the one who presents us to God the Father. So you see, the church is already praying, moving in this direction. The thing is that we haven't understood the whole dimension of this. So as we now study the Book of Heaven in these passages, we should be connecting the dots here, knowing that the Ten Commandments, they help me to become virtuous. And then as I grow in virtue, I'm creating that disposition in me so that I be able to receive that gift operating in me. And if I receive that gift and if the gift is operating in me, automatically everybody will receive. Everybody. And this is the best way to ask for the divine will to descend, because then after we are united with that will of God, everything becomes a prayer. Everything becomes an act of praise, glory, and adoration to God the Father, to the Blessed Trinity. So then let's continue. It says, our will did everything and out of justice had the right over everything. By doing his will, man took the divine rights away. So by doing his will, Adam took away the divine rights of all the human race. He gambled, he squandered, basically. He wasn't a good steward. By doing the will of God, our Lord Jesus regained for us those divine rights, and now for us to be able to receive those divine rights, we must be joined to the graft that is Jesus, so that from him we may receive that divine strength that we need, that is lacking in us. And then God the Father is able to receive that praise, that glory that is due to him, so justice can be met. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how pious, how good, how wonderful, how generous, charitable we are, or somebody is. But if it's lacking this union, it still is imperfect. Because remember, we were not designed, we were not predestined to live in this way. Apart from the divine will, we were designed to have this divine participation running through us at every moment. Before it was not possible because we needed somebody to reconcile us. Jesus has reconciled us already, and now it is possible to be joined to him again. And this is what happens in baptism. We are joined to him, and that divine life begins running through the creature. And then now we are invited to receive that divine life at every moment. So by doing his will, Adam lost basically the rights of everybody. Now our Lord Jesus, by doing the will of the Father, has restored us. He has paid the debt. But we still have to unite ourselves to the will of God so that the life of Jesus may be extended in each one of us, so that now out of our free will, everybody will go and fulfill that duty of the creature. We hear all the time in the preface of the Mass. It is our duty and our salvation to give you thanks always and everywhere. It's the duty of the creatures. So this is what we are called to fulfill through these writings, so that we may fulfill our duty. We may begin to operate in the way God intended for us since the beginning. We may regain those divine rights that we lost and now our Lord Jesus has restored. But because we have free will, everybody must learn how to unite his and her will to the will of Jesus, so that the divine will may operate in each one of us. And then that will fulfill the work of creation in each one of us. The divine will reigning in each one of us, reigning, as I mentioned in previous programs, previous classes, the divine will reigning in me, reigning in every bishop, in every priest, in every person, in every single one of us. This is the way to pray for the divine will, so that the divine will may descend quickly, so the divine will may hasten and come and reign in us. So we cannot really be distracted by, there are many distractions and we will encounter a lot of distractions, but many of those things, they are not within our power to change. Our Lord Jesus tells many times to Luisa Picarreta that I want you to be focused in the divine will. So this should be the essence of our existence. This way of living should be the essence of our existence now, from now on. There should be no date that we let go without saying or without thanking God for all the works of creation, redemption, and sanctification. There should be no day that goes by that we don't have that firm awareness to give our will to God. This is what the Catechism is asking us in 1807. To have that constant and firm will to give what is due to God. And what is due to God is perfect glory, honor, adoration, thanksgiving, correspondence from us creatures, recognizing everything that God the Father has done in creation for us, everything that the eternal Word has done for us since the moment of the fall. So through this writing, actually, we learn something else. That the incarnate Word, the eternal Word, right? Immediately after the fall, presented himself to God the Father, offering himself. So we also have to thank the eternal Word for offering himself for our salvation. Sometimes we just begin, especially if we read the Christmas Novena, you see that it begins with the incarnation, all of that. But now we have to go back, even back. We have to go to that moment of the fall and to put our I love you, I thank you, I adore you, and I glorify you in that moment in which the eternal Word, not incarnated yet, presents himself and offers himself to the Father and his merits as the future Redeemer. So that's, I think that's a very rich passage, as all of them, you know, all of them, they are so rich in meaning. But the more we look into that, I think it's this thing of studying the Book of Heaven, I think is really inexhaustible. It's so rich, and we can come from many different places and understand different things, even part of the doctrine and the teachings of the church, and even some things that we didn't see before, like this one. We have to go back to that moment in which our Lord Jesus presented himself and offered himself to the Father for all of us, and to thank our Lord Jesus. And that's an act of redemption. So I wanted to share this prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. Probably many of you know it. Comes from, let me see, is March 14, 1999. No, March 14, 99. Hold on. Just to make sure what I think is volume 12. In March 1499, there is a beautiful prayer that Luisa Picaretta prays, and the day after she prays this prayer, the person comes from purgatory and thanks her. The spirit is one of the confessors. And he says to her, that prayer that you pray the other day, did so much good for me. Can you please say it again?
Yes.
So I'm trying to find this prayer here in my book. Is it March 14, I think. I just want you to look at that prayer. You have a chance. And it's very related with what we are talking about today, that Luisa Picaretta is doing those rounds of creation. It says the following. Let me read it here. This is what the person says. Once you did for me a beautiful suffrage, if you knew the good you did to me, the refreshment that I felt, the years that I pay off, and I don't remember. Tell me, what was that prayer? And I will repeat it for you. And you immersed yourself in the divine volition and took its power, the immensity of its love, the immense value of the pains of the Son of God, and of all the divine qualities. You came over me and poured them upon me, and as you poured them, I received the bath, the love that the divine power contains, that bath of beauty, of the blood of Jesus, and of the divine qualities. Who can tell you the good you did to me? So that's March 14, 1919. So you can you want to go and visit that. But just to give you an example that all the things that we can do with all these prayers and the knowledge of this divine science, all the good that is extended to everybody. So just to be focused on this way of living, not so much in other things that we don't have power upon those things sometimes that happen, especially with the cause of Luisa. As for what we can do is just to remain in that union is the best thing we can do. Just to remain in that union, to do the acts and to be focused in the divine will, that's the best thing we can do. That's the best service we can do to this mission that our Lord Jesus has given to all of us, that we know the divine will, that each one of us that has received this gift, we are stewards of this gift. And the more we remain united in this way of living, is that's the best thing we can do in the all the good that we can do as someone who we don't have the power to do all other things. God will do all the things in his own time, but my belief is that it is because we are not really focused on this and we get distracted. The best way to serve the cause is to remain united in the will of God, to keep learning about the divine science. That's the best way to help. Well, let's leave it like that for the Book of Adam tonight, and let's go to the letters.
Okay.